Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was growing up in Milwaukee, my parents owned an Italian restaurant. Pizza, subs, grilled items, but mostly pizza. And from the time I was 12 until I was 19, I worked for my parents, answering the phones, waiting on tables, rolling dough, topping pizzas, and watching the ovens. And what do you think I ate night after night after night? Pizza. Again and again. And sure, there were occasions when we'd get lasagna or spaghetti, maybe even a fried chicken sandwich. But 99% of the time, it was pizza. And I know that probably sounds like a dream come true for some of you out there, especially the kids. But I hated it. And actually, it was good pizza. It was the best in town. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reviewed our restaurant one time and said that we were the second best pizza place in Milwaukee. But they were wrong. We were number one. But I just couldn't stand pizza anymore. I mean, I know there were kids who were starving to death, and I wanted to grumble. And I wanted to complain about a big meal because I got bored with it. I had it better off than most, but I turned up my nose at what the Lord provided. And isn't that exactly how we are? God gives us all kinds of gifts: clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse, children, land, animals, all that we have. He richly and daily provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. He gives us all we need, more than we deserve, and yet we snub our nose at him all the time. We want more money, a bigger house, a much juicier steak. And when we're sitting at the mechanic waiting for another car repair, we envy our neighbor or our friend with a brand new Lexus. We grumble about our job or our boss, even when many of our neighbors are currently unemployed because of the pandemic. We complain that our clothes aren't cool or trendy, like those of the popular kids at school, even though some other kids can't even afford a coat to wear in the winter. No matter what God gives us, all too often it's not good enough for our tastes. And looking at how little we have compared to how much we desire, we turn our eyes up to heaven and say, "This is not what I asked for." Instead of thanking God for giving us daily bread, we grumble that we want something different than bread. During the pandemic, we've become particularly good at grumbling. During the lockdowns and the COVID restrictions, our patience has run out, and it doesn't take much for us to have an outcry and complain about something. Well, God has his own way of dealing with grumblers. And as we discover in our Old Testament lesson, that's not exactly what we ask for either. Numbers 21 takes place toward the end of Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The punishment for their parents' refusal to enter the promised land. For almost 40 years, the Israelites did nothing but grumble and complain. They complained about their food. They complained about their water. They complained about their pastor, the prophet Moses. And even though God provided for all of their needs day after day, they continued to complain about pretty much everything. And so when they heard that the promised land of Canaan was full of giants and fortified cities, in their fear, they complained that God had led them out of slavery just to kill them in the wilderness instead. God had enough. He condemned them to wander in the wilderness until an entire generation died off. For 40 years, they circled the Sinai Peninsula, kicking over the same stones and drinking from the same oases year in, year out. Gradually, it would seem, all the grumblers died off. But now, toward the end of those 40 years, we find that the apple did not fall very far from the tree. In Numbers 21, Moses tells us that the new generation became impatient on the way. Just like their parents, they were tired. Their feet were worn out. They were sick of eating manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for dinner. Manna, you might recall, is that fine, flake-like, frosted kind of bread that would appear miraculously on the ground each day. It probably looked and tasted a lot like Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, and they were sick of it. So the people grumbled. They complained against God and against Moses, and they said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Do you notice the irony in their complaint? They say in the same sentence, "There is no food, and we hate the food we have." It's like a teenager that opens the refrigerator door, peers in, sees all the leftovers, and shouts out and says, "Hey, Ma, we ain't got nothing to eat." No appreciation. Complete ingratitude, right? Well, they grumbled, they complained, they acted as if somehow slavery in Egypt would be better for them than the freedom and the blessing that God had in store for them. At least in Egypt, there was steak and salad. "This isn't what we asked for," they declared. And even after everything God had done for them, crossing the Red Sea, water from the rock, manna from heaven, nothing was good enough for these grumblers and complainers. Worst of all, they grumbled against God and against Moses, complaining about the very leader that was called and put in place by God. We would do well to heed the warning from Hebrews 13. "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Constant complaint does not help a pastor do his job better, and it's of no advantage to you. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. God was angry about these ungrateful grumblers, and so he did something about it. He sent fiery serpents to bite and sting them. If they didn't want God's food, if they didn't want to go to the promised land, he'd be sure they didn't make it. And these venomous vipers wreaked havoc on the camp, striking whomever, whenever they wanted. And they bit the people, we're told in Numbers 21, verse 6, so that many people of Israel died. It puts a whole new spin on the wages of sin or death. Or that verse in 1 Corinthians, "Where, O death, is thy sting? In the mouth of a snake." When people felt the sting of God's law, quite literally, from the fangs of the fiery serpents, they saw the error of their ways and they confessed their sins to God. And they said to Moses, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord so that he takes the serpents away from us." The people repented of their sins. They confessed of their complaining. And their pastor prayed for their forgiveness. And God did forgive them, and he saved them, but not in the way they expected. He didn't just clap his hands or snap his fingers and just take away the snakes like that. He told Moses to do a strange thing. He told him to fashion the form of a snake, a serpent, kind of like a little statue, a little model of a bronze serpent, and mount it on a pole. And then if anyone was bitten by a snake, he could look to the bronze serpent and be saved. God saved the people, but not by just taking the snakes away. If he took the snakes away, they'd probably just go back to their old ways and find something else to groan about. He left the adversity there, but by giving them the bronze serpent, he required them to believe in him and to trust his promise for forgiveness and life. The bronze serpent isn't what they asked for, but it was so much better. That's how it is with us too. We think we know what we want and need, and we're always asking God to give us something better. And when he doesn't give it to us, we grumble and complain and figure that he doesn't bother about answering our prayers. But God always answers our prayers, just not in the ways perhaps that we expect. Luther writes in the Small Catechism that God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. When God doesn't give us what we ask for, he gives us something better instead. When God doesn't say yes and instead says no or wait, it's because he has something better in mind than what we could have imagined. And though it's hard to cling to the hope of a promised land that we've never seen, it's better than going back to being slaves of sin. Sometimes it takes just a few snakes to remind us how much God has already given us. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses this story of the fiery serpent as a warning not to test God by our grumbling and complaining. He says we must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. But in our gospel today, Jesus puts a whole different spin on this story. And instead of focusing on the fiery serpents, he focuses on the bronze serpent that Moses made. And Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus compares himself to the bronze serpent. And just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so would Jesus be lifted up on the cross. Just as the Israelites were saved from the snakes by looking to the bronze serpent, so we are saved from our sins by looking to the cross of Christ. For there we behold our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died to forgive our sins. He may not be what we asked for, but Jesus is the best thing God could ever give us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And because Jesus was lifted up on the pole of the cross, Christ defeated the slimiest snake of all, the ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. In Genesis 3:15, the first gospel promise in Scripture, God foretold that one day a descendant of Eve would crush the head of the serpent. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. By his death and resurrection, he defeated the devil. He crushed the head of the serpent. And John tells us in his first epistle that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what Jesus did for us when he was lifted up on that cross. Jesus gives us life and salvation. And in him, God gives us everything we need. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. And it will always be better than what you ask for, because all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.